And next in our series, our one of the oldest movie gags, you wake up feeling somehow different.
You see that I am diametrically different from the Annabelle you all know, correct? All right. Now listen very carefully. I'm not Annabelle.
Who are you?
I'm a mother.
The 1976 film Freaky Friday, where a very young Jodie Foster and Barbara Harris endure a mother-daughter switch. Hollywood always found the body swap and sometimes the twin swap a very useful plot device and so much fun that they recycled more than a few of them. What's your favorite swap movie? You can reach us at 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And, of course, our favorite movie buff, Murray Horowitz, joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome back, Murray.
It's good to be here, Neil.
And ground rules for this. What qualifies as a body swap?
Yeah, this is tough because, preferably, it's really a switch, a real trade, someone else assuming the other's identity. This should be a simple category, but it's not. The idea, as you mentioned, is a very old one. I was thinking of Jacob and Esau, you know.
Right, there
it's,
you go.
It's a very essentially human, imagining that you're someone else. You know, I mean, literature and theater and dance, certainly the movies, have figured out so many devices for bringing that idea to life. So we've got body swap movies and evil twin movies and mistaken identity movies. But basically, we're saying these are movies that play on the experience of living in someone else's body or shoes. You know, I mean, it can be by mistake or manipulation or whatever, but preferably not just switching positions, not just switching jobs, like trading places or something like that, but switching bodies.
And as you say, there are the diametric opposites, the old-young switch,
right,
the evil-good switch, the rich-poor switch, Prince of the Pauper.
Yes, exactly that. And somebody, you know, put into another body, the Invisible Man is put into nobody.
Right.
two people switching identities, as you say. Two people inhabiting one body or one person inhabiting two, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or the Queen and the Witch in Snow White. But it's an old, I guess we're open to accepting somebody assuming another identity, pretending to be someone else, like in Tootsie.
Oh, well, then Tootsie. It's Peter Sellers.
Right, right. Anybody, right?
Yeah.
But preferably a real trade, as I say.
All right. If you think you know one of these great switch movies, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Nominate your favorite. Email talk@npr.org. And let's see if we can begin with Doyle. Doyle with us from Reno in Nevada.
My favorite switch is The Metamorphosis by Kafka. Gregor Samsa woke up to discover he had become a bug.
Yeah, and what is Zero Mostel's rejoinder? No, it's too good. It's too good. Something like that in the producers.
Yes.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's not a swap. And was there a movie of Metamorphosis?
No, I don't know.
All right. Disqualified.
Okay, never mind.
But thanks.
Thanks, Doyle. It's an interesting idea. Let's see if we go next to this is Therese. Therese with us from Kansas City.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Chauncey, and I'm calling from Kansas City.
I apologize for mispronouncing your name.
That's all right. The favorite movie, switch movie I like was Multiplicity with Michael Keaton.
This is a new one on me. Tell us about it, Chauncey.
Well, Multiplicity, Michael Keaton cloned himself so that he could do all of the different things that he couldn't do. He could be the house dad. He could be fix the repairs. He could go to work. He could do. But he's not going into a different body. He's going into the same body several times.
Yeah, but the switch was just an incredible switch because it caught me off guard. I couldn't tell if it was really him or the clone of him.
All right.
Well, that's true. And it is, and confusing the audience is one of the big, I'm sure back in Shakespeare's day, that was one of the big
It tended to be, as I remember my Shakespeare. But
it's a good idea, Chauncey. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good nomination. Let's see if we go to, this is Sue, and Sue's on the line from Nashville.
Hi. My favorite movie, which is a really underappreciated one, I think, is 1984's All of Me.
Ah, this is the Lily Tomlin and
Steve Martin.
Right, Carl Reiner movie.
And a dying millionaire has her soul transferred into, well, she didn't know it at the time, but a lawyer's body.
Where am I?
What?
I'm breathing. I must be alive.
Who said that?
No, it can't be. I just died.
I'm picking up General Hospital in my
Billings.
Then it worked. Oh, my Lord.
And then Steve goes into the physical routine.
Exactly.
Sue, that is an amazing movie because the dialogue between, I'm getting General Hospital in my fillings. What a great line.
Well, it is, after all, it is Carl Reiner. But there's only actually a couple of other switches because, you know, there's the planned one as Lily Tomlin takes over Victoria Tennant, and as punishment for plotting against her, Victoria Tennant takes over the body of a horse at the end of the movie.
That's right. You know, I'd forgotten that, but I think I'm going to go rent it again. It's just one of those wonderful little movies that I enjoy so much. And Face Off.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we go next to, this is Leo. Leo with us from Stockton, California.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Cool. My favorite would have to be the Citizen Kane of all SWAT movies, and that would be Being John Malkovich.
Being John Malkovich is a weird and wonderful film. Somebody once wrote that John Malkovich should have gotten two Oscars, one for playing the role and the other for getting it. Of course, Being John Malkovich is about being just that, being John Malkovich.
We operate a little business here that simulates for our clientele, well, the experience of being you, actually.
Simulate?
Yeah, after a fashion.
What exactly does that mean?
That's hard to describe.
I want to do it, then.
Well, I'm sure that would pale in comparison to the actual experience.
I want to do it!
But right now, Mr. Hiroshi's in the tube, and he's
got
about...
Let him do it, Craig.
Of course. Right this way, Mr. Malkovich. Compliments of the house.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that movie, you can't tell the Malkoviches without a scorecard, you know? And
exactly.
Right, probably, and Charlie Kaufman, the writer of the screenplay, said that he, even before he'd ever met or talked to John Malkovich, he had John Malkovich in mind just because he thought the name sounded great when everybody sits there repeating Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich.
It wouldn't have worked if it was Being Tom Cruise.
Right, Cruise. Doesn't work.
Leo, thanks very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
So long. Here's an email from Kim in San Francisco. I'd like to nominate Prelude to a Kiss with Meg Ryan and Alec Baldwin. It's a unique take on a genre where at a wedding, an old man, jealous of the love between Ryan and Baldwin's characters, asks to kiss the new bride. The kiss out somehow brings around the switch. It's very funny as all the characters dodge and dance around the new existence, and very moving as all the characters learn about the true nature of love.
And it's got a terrific cast. It's like Alec Baldwin, Meg Ryan, Stanley Tucci's in this movie, Kathy Bates, Deborah Monk, Ned Beatty. It's Norman Rene directed. It's terrific.
Let's see. We go next to Tom, and Tom's with us from Circleville, Ohio.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. Big. I nominate Big.
Big. Would Big qualify, Murray?
Well, it's, you know, again, this is a fuzzy category. We had a hard time with this one. But yes, we're saying yes. Again, it's not an actual body switch, but certainly a 13-year-old David Moscow in a 30-year-old Tom Hanks's body. Maybe the biggest hit of all of these, I mean, Zoltar Speaks and America Listens, you know.
Well, it's also Josh Baskin gets his soul stuck in his older self and his best friend feels pretty left out.
You're Josh Baskin, remember? You broke your arm on my roof. You hit my basement when Robert Dyson was about to rip your head off.
You don't get it, do you? This is important.
I'm your best friend. What's more important than that, huh? I'm 3 months older than you are.
And very important at that age.
Yes, and let us not forget, it had nothing to do with body switching, the tap dance duet on Hoagy Carmichael's Heart and Soul.
It's fantastic, right. All right. Tom, thanks very much. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Gabriel. Gabriel is from Nevada City.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, I remember watching this movie when I was a kid. I was really little, and... there was this fish swimming in the water, and this guy was singing to it. I wish it was a fish. I think it's called The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Don Knotts.
That's it. And, I always thought somehow this had to do with that classic German fairy tale about the talking fish that came out of the water on which I think Heinrich Bull based a novel or two. But, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, perfect casting for Don Knotts.
Thanks very much, Gabriel. We're getting a lot of votes for all of me, including one from Leanne in Bethany Beach. Let's see if we can go next to this is Jack. Jack with us from Rock Springs in Wyoming.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I'd like to nominate 18 again, where 81-year-old George Burns swaps places with his 18-year-old grandson, played by Sean Penn.
Somehow, the dapper George Burns becomes even more dapper.
Charlie, I got my wish. I'm 18 again.
What?
Easy, Charlie.
How did you pull it off?
I didn't. I mean, I don't know. The accident, somehow we got switched.
So, David's in. What happens to him?
I wish I knew.
Oh, my God. Jack Watson, you had it all.
What happens
and
to
now
him?
Now you really have it all.
What happens to him? He comes back as God.
Well, actually, I think it's after he played God. But what's amazing about that performance is George Burns is playing an 81-year-old, and he's playing down because he was 92 at the time.
What range? What range?
Right, right.
Thanks very much, Jack.
Thank you.
Email talk at npr.org. You can also call us 800-989-8255. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we go next to this is Mike, and Mike's on the line from Richmond.
Yes. The movie that I like with this body-switching genre was Danny Kaye in The Court Jester, where he becomes hypnotized and thinks that he's the dashing Giacomo, whereas his real personality is 180 degrees the opposite. It's just really entertaining to me.
Yeah, we didn't put that on the list because, in a way, there's another Danny Kaye movie, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, that does that. We're just sort of, you know, changing personalities and stuff like that. But it's not so much inhabiting the body. But that was from the heyday of Danny Kaye and a terrific movie.
Well, another impersonation. I mean, like that, then you're getting on into, Gene Kelly becoming Mac the Black, the Pirate of the Caribbean.
That's right.
These kinds of impersonations, not quite body switches.
It's different. Yeah.
It's a little bit. Anyway. Let's see if we go next to this is Jim. Jim with us from Spencer in Iowa.
Yeah, hi. Really, really funny and almost not body switching, more like body stealing. The insect from outer space that inhabits the farmer's body and Men in Black. Just a hoot.
It's a great, great nomination, Jim. I'm glad you mentioned it.
I would not have thought of that, but yes.
And Jim hints at a larger point. Most of these movies are comedies. I mean, they fall into the comedy genre or the horror genre. I just saw one the other night on TV called Dead Men Walk, where George Zucco plays himself and his twin brother vampire. So they're either horror or comedy. Some dramas, but the real swap tend to be comedies.
Thanks very much for the nomination, Jim.
Absolutely.
And there's a terrific picture called Heaven Can Wait, which is stars Warren Beatty as, of course, a football player who's moved from his body, as it turns out, prematurely. Heaven makes a mistake.
Mr. Pendleton, do the words "you're not being a good sport" mean anything to you?
Joe, we can put you into another man's body, provided that his death has not yet been discovered.
Are you kidding? You're going to put me into the body of another man? I just got my body back in shape.
And not only Warren Beatty, but Buck Henry and James Mason. Impossible to miss there.
That's right. And I was waiting for somebody to bring that up because that was based in turn on Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
That's the one that gets my vote.
It's really a wonderful movie.
James Gleason talks out of the side of his mouth the whole picture.
James Gleason always talked out of the side of his mouth. Neil, what are you talking about? But that was a 1941 movie directed by Alexander Hall. It really is a classic. And as you pointed out, so many of these movies are remakes of other movies that use the same device. And in fact, Here Comes Mr. Jordan was remade as Heaven Can Wait. It was remade as a musical with Rita Hayworth and Larry Parks called Down to Earth. And Heaven Can Wait was remade as another Down to Earth, you know, based on Warren Beatty's screenplay. Elaine May adapted that.
And that was originally an Ernst Lubitsch movie. So.
Well, was it the same? I mean, Heaven Can Wait was an Ernst Lubitsch title. But
no, it was definitely an Ernst Lubitsch movie. Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful picture. Wonderful picture. Here's Greg emails, my favorite swap movie has to be The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan. This is another one that was actually made twice. The Parent Trap, here are both films where one twin reunites with the mother she hasn't seen since she was a baby.
What's the matter, Sharon? Are those tears I see?
Oh, darling, what is it?
I'm sorry. It's just, I've missed you so much.
Hayley Mills there in the original.
In the original, and later Lindsay Lohan, as you mentioned, who kind of is the queen of the genre. She was also in a remake of Freaky Friday, mm-hmm. based on Mary Rodgers' wonderful novel. And I think she shows up in the... Maybe she was switching bodies when she did both Could films. Be. I don't know.
Well, who gets the Murray?
Oh, man, this is a tough one, Neil, because, I mean, we haven't mentioned Desperately Seeking Susan and Mulholland Drive and some really, really good movies. We didn't mention The Invisible Man. Well, we did mention The Invisible Man, but one that nobody's mentioned and that has been remade a zillion times, including only a 19 years or so, or 20 years after the story was written by Robert Louis Stevenson, was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was made in 1908. It was made in 2000. It's scheduled for 2012. So, I mean, it's a very, very important trope, I guess you'd say, or model.
And an important contributor to, I guess, psychiatric theory.
Well, it's not, yes, and it's become part of the lexicon. I mean, how many times do we say, oh, he's a real Jekyll and Hyde?
Yeah. Know?
It's usually about your boss.
We don't have a clip from that movie, Murray.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you need to see, if I had one clip, it wouldn't be on the radio anyway, because in the version from 1920, John Barrymore does. Go to YouTube or rent the film and see it. John Barrymore does the transformation from Jekyll into Hyde without makeup.
Oh, we have that clip.
Brilliant,
that was it.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Murray, check it out.
Thanks very much. We're going to take a one-break week from our summer movie festival.
And a one-week break.
And when we come back, we're going to come back big. The biggest star of all, Elizabeth Taylor. We'll see you then.
Peace.
The great Elizabeth Taylor movies. Tomorrow, Thomas Vandervan joins us. He wanted to know why college kids binge drink, so he asked them. Getting Wasted is his new book, and the result, it's the talk of the nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.